The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gift. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Dr. Homebrew is brought to you by Five Star Chemicals, providing safety and cleaning supplies for brewing, distilling, and winemaking at fivestarchemicals.com.
Doctor, look!
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Yes, it's Dr. Homebrew. We're back, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I have with me, as always, Brian and Keith. They are our master BJCP judges. And yes. I don't have to call you master, like Master Brian and Master Keith, because that would be...
That's what my grandma used to write on the cards I would get when I was a kid. Master Brian.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting about... What's the... female equivalent. It's mistress. I looked it up.
Mistress.
Ooh. And then so then I feel uncomfortable like writing that to my nieces. Like, oh.
Aren't we supposed to be like Dr. Homebrew or something? Who is actually the doctor? JP, are you the doctor here?
No, I don't know. Dr. Homebrew just lives. It's just an entity. We're like Voltron.
It's Jonathan. Jonathan is our resident doctor tonight, right?
Right.
I feel like we're just, you know, we exist inside of Dr. Homebrew. Dr. Homebrew just is. Right, Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a book.
Not related to us at all.
Not at all.
No. We wouldn't.
It's like a steampunk novel
literate.
Of some sort.
You have to be literate to write shit.
I bought a copy. It's interesting.
Of course you did.
Did you read it at the spa? Possibly at the day spa?
Day spa. Day spa, Brian.
You can't read the day spa because you have cucumbers on your eyes, right?
That's true.
But someone reads it to him.
They're hindering me.
Right. He has Alicia come in and sit by his side while he's in the mud bath with the cucumbers on his eyes, drinking cucumber water.
Come cut some holes in these cucumbers so I can read my book.
I can check you out, girl. We have a cool show for you guys today. It's been a while since we've done anything interesting. No, it's been a while since we've done a commercial calibration. So today, of course, Pliny the Elder, right? Pliny the Elder, that's what it is. It's everywhere right now, so it must have just been released. And we have a bottle of it. We have a keg of it on tap. So we're going to do a commercial calibration for Pliny, but we also have Dan, who was on our last show, happened to brew a clone of Pliny the Plelder. So it's
an all IPA show, JP.
Yeah, it's all Pliny all the time, and I just want to put my head through a wall.
You feel good, don't you?
Yeah. Well, at least this IPA is like not cloudy and milky and has lactose and fucking mango and applesauce added to it. That shit makes me want to puke.
You can do that. Is there any applesauce in the kitchen?
There might be, dude. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. Speaking of culinary delights like applesauce and beer, I got a pizza oven at my house.
Oh, nice.
So I've been eating pizzas. I've eaten pizza four times this last week.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I hope I don't have any sort of like
allergy. Outside?
It's a Rock Box is what it's called. And it's pricey, but it was, it was worth it.
Recommend it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool, man. I really dig it. We're trying to figure it out right now, just kind of like what temperature everything goes at and, you know, how to get the crust really nice and crispy on the bottom but not fry everything on top. And
So I assume you're throwing in just frozen, like, DiGiorno pizzas.
Red Baron. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Red the Baron. Same thing. Tombstone when we can afford it. But that's, you know, we bought a pizza oven, so we're broke now.
Yeah.
Pizza ovens are cool, man. But what's interesting, like, living out in Oakley, in the valley, I guess, is that there's a fuck ton of bugs.
Hmm.
And I had no idea. But we live kind of like across from this like park and a pond, like this big, you know, big lawn, I guess,
right.
Park. And I don't know, they just swarm at night outside.
Off so the
I
have delta or
something. Yeah. I don't know what. I think they're just they live on like the grass or whatever. But the lights come on and they just go, man. So I had to buy those fly paper strips.
Mm-hmm.
I hang it from the lights outside, and then I bought a bug zapper and I put it on a table like out by the fence, and I turned that shit on, man. And I'm used to these bug zappers that just would pop.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That they would zap and you hear it and you're like, oh, that's really great. It's like a redneck Nintendo or something. But these are like silent. They like hit this grid and they just kind of like sizzle. And you don't hear anything. And I didn't think it was really working. I was like, fuck, this isn't really, like, attracting bugs. What the fuck's going on?
But then you see a pile of...
Yeah, and then I go look at it. There's a pile. And they're, like, mashed up on the thing. And so today I...
Scrape them off and put them on the pizza?
Yes. Sprinkle.
Crusties.
Protein is very good. I go grab the thing. You know, obviously when it's off, it's today, to, like, shake it out. And I'm shaking it out, and it was like a fucking pepper grinder, dude. It was just all these bugs started falling out, and it was kind of gross. But it kind of made me feel good for, like, helping the neighborhood, eradicate the bug infestation, man. I had no idea living in the country would involve so much bug life.
Country stuff?
Yeah, country stuff.
I moved to California, you know, from Minnesota to get away from all the flying bugs.
Do you get a lot of flying bugs out there?
Well, mosquitoes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like, moving to San Francisco, there's, like, no bugs at all. It's so weird. You're like, where?
No, but you have, like, but you have human shit on the corner, yeah, so I'm okay with the bugs.
My grandparents lived in Southern...
You can get hepatitis C just walking to the store in San Diego.
You know, in Southern California, and we would go there, and we're like, there are no mosquitoes out here. We're standing outside, and we can play, and we're not getting eaten alive. This is great. I want to live here someday.
I almost do that in San Francisco, but you stand outside, and it's nighttime, and it's like 50 degrees. Like, okay, time to go back inside.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Wrap up or get back inside.
I don't know, man. It's weird. Okay, let us talk about... should we take a... No, let's not take a break. Let's just get into a beer. What did we decide to do? Are we going to talk to Dan about his Pliny clone first?
We're tasting Dan's Pliny clone. Double
Dan,
IP.
How's it going, man? Again.
Still going great.
Still going
thank
great?
You.
All right. Well, for the people who jump around... We don't know who you are. We've never seen you before. It's fine. So you've done a Pliny the Elder clone, and have you done this beer before?
Yeah, I've done a few of them.
Okay. Are you do you rebrew them and change things, or did you kind of nail it off the first jump and you're just rebrewing it now?
It's probably about my fourth one that I've brewed.
Okay.
Everything I change a little bit.
Okay.
This one I mashed higher, which is the first time I've done that with the Pliny clone.
Okay.
A little maltier than I like.
Okay. All right. So when you're changing different stuff, are you just doing the home brewing thing of like whenever I brew, I walk in with my recipe and I have to fight myself to not change it on the fly? Or are you trying to just improve it every time because you thought there was some perceived flaw or something like that?
Well, this one, Vinny's always been pretty open with his recipes. Mm-hmm. This one was posted by a... forum member that I'm on that was supposedly the exact recipe from Pliny. I decided to go ahead and brew it. Like I said, the mash temp was a little higher than I'm used to.
Okay.
So I thought that was a little weird. And
were the other ones just ones that you put together?
Based on a bunch of stuff on the internet and Vinny's recipes that he's actually handed out. over the years in BYO.
They change.
They change.
Yeah. I remember working at Morebeer when we first got the first Pliny recipe. We're like, oh, shit, this is rad. We were the first as far as... He handed it out, I think, at HA. Anyway, and then, you know, three or four years later, it's a different recipe. And people be like, well, that's not really Pliny. Well, it was. Now it's not anymore. But, you know, a lot of commercial recipes change. Hops change, grain changes, all that kind of stuff. So, okay, well, let's get right into this. Who has a beer for me to drink?
You want beer?
Wow.
You want us to pour you beer?
Keith failed in his job, in his pouring job.
I didn't know that was my job.
So. You're closest to the beer. You know, it's fine.
He's got a fresh can over there. He's going to crack a can for us.
That's right. Yeah, Dan the canner.
Is our resident canner. We're going to be coming over and bringing, like, you know, kegs of beer to can over at your house now.
This might be a dumb question, Dan, but you can't reuse the cans, right?
That's a no-go.
You can recycle them.
Well, yeah, aside from recycling them, you can't reuse them. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Thank you. Okay.
All right.
Because that would be dope.
I want to be good for the environment.
Yeah. Well, just to, like, no, like, you know, pop the top off and then refill it and but I guess, anyway. Brian, why don't you go ahead and start us off here, my friend.
Okay. In the aroma, I'm getting a moderate hop aroma with a light kind of tropical and dank and a little bit of pine, slightly resiny. Could be fresher and more prominent, would be nice for the style, but it's, you know, it's definitely a hoppy beer. Medium fruity esters. It's kind of got a juicy fruit gum-like impression to me. The esters are really coming through on this one. No diacetyl. Definitely prominent alcohol here. I mean, it should be about an 8% or so. But I found that it was maybe a little more than hoped. A little slight bit of solvent. But otherwise, it seems like a pretty clean ale fermentation. Appearance-wise, it's a deep golden-colored, you know, beer, almost towards amber. But you know, pretty rich gold and fairly clear. Low whitish head that faded soon after pouring. Mostly finer bubbles. In the flavor, it's again kind of fruity and malty for a hoppy beer. I was expecting, you know, and there's some bitterness there, but less of the hop flavor than hoped. It's got kind of a medium hop flavor with notes of pine and resin, and the malt comes through. It's not intensely sweet. It finishes kind of medium dry, I would say, but. You know, the hop bitterness is also kind of medium high up there. It's and the alcohol is definitely high. It's a little alcoholic, not intensely hot, but a little higher than you'd want. Seems like maybe a higher temp ale ferment going on here or something, but or maybe slightly unhappy yeast kicking out a little bit more than you bargained for. Definitely balanced to the hops though. Still, even though despite the maltiness and the slight edge of a little bit of sweetness in there, but you know, mostly dry finish still. Body wise, it's a medium light bodied, moderate alcohol warming in the back of the throat. It has a little hint of astringency possibly from the hops. It's not very creamy or smooth. It's pretty drying. It's pretty intense. Overall, I thought that, you know, this is a pleasant double IPA. It tastes more like maybe a slightly aged version. Some of the hops are a little more muted than expected. They're not super stale or they're not cheesy tasting or anything like that. They're there. They're fairly fresh, but they've kind of seems like they've faded or just weren't high enough to start with. The alcohol component detracts a little bit because you feel like you're just, you know, it's not like paint thinner or anything, but you're tasting a little more alcohol than you really want. This beer should just go down super smooth and just whoosh, dry off and you want another sip. So it's a little more, you know, it's not barley wine-ish, but it's more slightly towards that aspect of things. The drinkability is key to the style. You need to really have it nice and dry. So, you know, I'd definitely pull the alcohol back with a not the alcohol level, but the hotness with a huge yeast pitch, super healthy, super vigorous. And then for the hops, just bump up those late and whirlpool hops. You could dial back the bitterness just a touch. And it feels like, I don't know, maybe the bitterness is just coming through more because of what's absent there. But it's not offensive. It's just, it's like bitter and slightly sweet. But definitely dry out that body a little bit more. The water seems like it's good. It seems like you built up, I know you build up your water, as we talked about on the last episode. Seems like the water is good for it. You know, you got some sulfates in here kind of playing off the hops, and that's fine. But it's not like a super minerally water or a super, no mineral water. But anyway, I gave it a 32. I thought it's a very good beer. It just needs a little more dialing in and just has, clean up a little bit more, bring up that hop especially, and it's going to be a really nice beer.
Perfect. Keith, what do you think, man?
Okay, medium strong citrus and pine notes. I get some notes of orange, too. Some low vegetal tea-like character. Medium low malt with a hint of biscuit. I thought fermentation is pretty clean. I am getting that. I think you did a great job of describing that, the juicy fruit sort of character. I think that pretty much hits it is. On the head.
The taste is going to move.
That gum is still around. Someday it'll be gone and no one will know what we're talking about.
Juicy fruit. Start to move you.
It's gonna move.
Yeah.
It gets right to you. Juicy fruit. The taste okay. Is gonna move you.
Moving on.
Moving you on.
Move ya.
Deep gold, nearly perfectly clear. Big white head with medium retention. Carbonation looks pretty good on it. Overall, pretty good looking beer again from Dan. Strong pine and herbal notes. Bitterness is significant but appropriate. Actually, I'd probably say medium strong pine and herbal notes. But the bitterness, I didn't think it was really coarse. So there was a pretty significant amount of bitterness, but it wasn't coarse. This is going back to water probably profiles again. I didn't really feel like it was super coarse, which is a good thing. Sweetness is medium plus. I didn't think it was out of place necessarily. I didn't necessarily, I didn't think it was like a barley wine sort of sweetness.
No.
But it is on the high end, I think, for a double IPA style. Fermentation, pretty clean. Once again, that juicy fruit character, I think, is something that...
That starts to move you.
It does start to move you. I think it wouldn't move you necessarily if you had a little more hop expression. It would be a little bit harder to detect that.
That'd bury it, yeah.
Anyway, moving on. gonna move ya. I thought it was appropriate, though. I mean, I didn't think the esters were really that far out of place. So, like I said, they could be toned down a little bit, but I think there's other issues with the beer I would probably look at improving first. Finish is fairly dry, and balance, obviously, is toward the hop bitterness. Medium body, medium high carbonation with medium high warming, all appropriate. If not, a little bit high on the alcohol side. I found this to be like sort of a middle of the road double IPA. It was clean overall. No diacetyl, no acetaldehyde, no phenols. But really needs a fresher or bigger hop expression. I think to me the hops taste a little old. Once again, not cheesy old, but just not really popping, in the glass here, and even come across as a little vegetal to me. I like the bitter finish, but I think probably even dial that back just a tiny bit would improve this. But I would consider just looking at your hop sourcing, where you're getting your hops and how they're being stored. I think is really important for a beer like this. And once in a while, switch it up and go with a different newer hop that packs a little more punch. But being that it's a Pliny clone, just make sure you want to keep it close to Pliny as possible. Make sure you have the freshest hops available, and you're handling them well, keeping them in the freezer, oxygen barrier, all that sort of stuff. Make sure they're not being exposed to oxygen. Overall, I also gave it a 32.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good.
Yeah. Now, about that mash temperature, the one I have, it was from Zymergy, July, August 2009. And, they interviewed Vinny for it. And the recipe calls for a mash of 151 to 152 for an hour. So, if it went to 154, that's definitely a little high. When I'm doing double IPAs, and you add enough dextrose in there too, get the corn sugar going. to dry out the body as well. But then 151 is, to me, kind of a, you know, a good place to be, or even 148, 149 if you want to just go there and really dry it out. But
okay,
that's one thing you can do.
My double IPAs tend to finish drier than my regular IPAs, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
I was supposed to try to use the dextrose and, yeah, definitely low mash temps.
Yeah. Right. Well, let's talk to Dan a little bit about it. Dan, what do you think about the, well, I guess let's start with the mash temperature. What did you mash at?
So this one was 154, okay, which is higher than I've ever done on,
yeah,
any of these.
But you were just following the recipe.
I was following what I got off the internet.
Okay.
Usually I do
the fucking internet, dude. Gotta watch out.
Yeah, it can
fuck you up.
Raise you on a throne or kill you real
yeah,
quick.
Right.
You
know?
But I find it can move you as well, which is one of the things I
Well, let's not get too weird about it.
By the time we get done with all these, it's gonna move me. I can tell you. The other ones I've done have been about 151, 150, and they've came out a little drier, less malty. The hops shine through a little more. I preferred them more to this one. But this wasn't a horrible beer, but, you know.
No, it's very drinkable.
Yeah.
It's also almost 8%, so, you know. But you definitely do taste the alcohol content in it. So if I do another one, or I will do another one, there's no question on that. It'll be a lower mash temperature.
Lower mash temp. Okay. Absolutely. Now, Keith was picking about the hops. How did you handle those? No, like the
hops,
freshness.
Freshness. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So
what would you say to that? How would you address? Pretend he's right here. What would you say to him?
Well, I'm gonna have to think about this one.
What part of his body are you gonna punch?
Right. No, but you know what I mean. Like, can you address any sort of like how the hops were handled? Maybe, you know, maybe there's something
there.
Where
do you get your, without saying any names of companies? Where do you get your hops?
Well, I can tell you this: I get my hops online. I buy them in bulk, so I usually buy a pound at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get to my house, I keep them in the freezer. Once I open them, I also have a chamber vacuum sealer with nitrogen purging, so they're stored the way they should be.
Okay.
So I just think here it was. I think the biggest part of this was the mash temperatures. You know, that's my perspective on it.
You know. And it could be. I mean, you know, if it's throwing your malt profile off, right? I mean, that could cover some hops up and kind of smash stuff.
It could be that it's not the actual, you know, the quality of the hops, but it could just be the way you're handling them in the brewing process. I mean, like right now we poured, you know, just a heads up, we poured a bottle of Pliny the Elder, and granted at this point they probably don't have this year's hop crop yet. I don't think that's been prioritized yet for this batch to come out. But you can see the hops on this really are jumping a lot more than the hops. I mean, I'm not sure what was the age of the one that you gave us?
So these were 2016 hops.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, but the beer.
When did you brew the beer?
When was the beer brewed?
Probably about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that could be something. I think the bottle we're drinking right now was bottled on 9/21. So what, you know, a little, I guess, I don't know.
9/21.
It was a week ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's a week old beer. Wow. Week old in terms of bottles. That probably has a big factor in it.
Yeah.
Well, you know that, you know that.
For me, I get I don't say scorch, but like a scorched malt component, like the malt, like a darker malt. Burnt, I guess. Not burnt, but burnt. Like toasting.
Yeah,
what I mean?
What were the malts that you used on yours?
So on this one here, particular malts were 14 pounds of two row,
mm-hmm,
and then I used 4 ounces of Crystal 60, and then corn sugar, obviously.
Okay.
What was your sparge?
On this one, I believe it was about four gallons or so, 168. But I did mash higher. So usually on the other ones, I mashed about 150, 151. And this one was 154 degree mash. So
okay.
Dead on. I use a thermopen on top, and then I go off.
Yeah, John, if you're going to talk, yeah.
Sorry, thank you.
That's all right.
He was asking
go ahead and ask your question again.
How accurate is sparge?
How accurate is your sparge?
So I measure everything based on the temperature of the sparge heater or the right now I'm using a grain father. So I use the temperature, which that measures at the bottom of the mash. And then I also use a thermopin, which is supposedly super accurate on top.
Yeah. So you probably got like a 4-degree difference, maybe 5.
It actually matches almost dead on. So
you might want to sparge a little bit less because of the burn characteristic when you're rinsing over.
Do you think that could have to do with the mash temperature, though, of going from 150 to 154 on this one?
No, because it's burnt. Tastes burnt. It doesn't taste.
Well, I think what I'm getting is a little more of a richer caramelly flavor in the malt than you get in the real piney.
Yeah.
And I think the recipe I have calls for a Crystal 45 as opposed to the Crystal 60. It has some carapils in there too. But there's different versions of it out there. It doesn't use a lot of crystal malt. It's mostly two row and sugar, and a little bit of carapils and a little bit of crystal 40.
Looking at the color, it's not. Yours is a little darker than the plain. So maybe you do drop it down to crystal 40.
Yeah, that's a good place to go. I think with that that'll help with the sweetness too.
Okay, we got to take a break. Dan, do you have any questions for the guys that we haven't really covered yet?
Not at this time.
Okay, perfect. Well,
all right.
Forever hold your peace. Okay, this is Dr. Homebrew. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Pliny the Elder, the actual one. We're going to do a little commercial calibration here. We have a bottle in front of us and a frontal in bottom of us. I don't know.
Beer at the bar.
And then we'll try to get some from the keg. It's Dr. Homebrew. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small 4-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew, a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up. You might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Games.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. Morebeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. Morebeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to morebeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Now, back to the examination.
All right, thanks for sticking with us, everybody. About to drink some Pliny here, but before we do that, I do want to tell you guys about the Brew Guru app. The AHA has released an app. It's called the Brew Guru. It delivers sage brewing knowledge and money-saving deals at breweries, beer bars, and homebrew supply shops. Now, you don't need to be an AHA member to use it, but if you're not an AHA member, then that's just stupid because this app is like a whole nother membership, man. You put in your membership card information in there, then whenever you get the alert that, hey, there's a brewery nearby that's giving you the discount, then you go in there and you just show them your phone and you get the discount. So it's pretty cool. Brew Guru app. Check it out. It's free all over the place. So, you know, you don't have to pay for it. So don't worry about that. Is that from the keg there?
We brought you an IPA.
Great. I can't wait. I'm excited about this. It's pretty interesting, though. I mean, we have a bottle and a keg version at the same time. So,
and a homebrew version.
And a homebrew version. Okay, so commercial calibration. Brian reminded me again. What is the point of our commercial calibration?
It's where we BS about a beer in a way that makes you feel like you're a beer judge judging along with us, and you like to
that's true.
Learn the language of the beer, learn the terms and the balance of a beer, the overall impression of what makes makes a beer tick.
Very good.
Or you can just sit at home and read the guidelines over a nice, tasty pint of something.
Okay, well, let's try this plain from the bottle. Let's try the bottle version first, huh? What do we think about it?
It's pretty fresh.
Yeah, the bottle on the 21st, which actually this episode was supposed to release on the 21st, which it didn't, but, you know, who cares?
I would say, you know, it seems like it's a prominent hop aroma, but it probably is, like you said, it's probably still the last year's crop that they're going through. And yeah, when you get that switch over, you might get a little boost where it comes back up.
They're stored well, but the same thing. And even when they get over the next year's crop, who knows like when they finish off with the previous year's crop sort of thing. You know, that's like one of the fun things about like celebration. And it's not like super hoppy like this, but it's always like this is this year's crop we're using for Sierra Nevada celebration. I don't know why. Hmm. Like, why am I like? Like, am I going to start working for Sierra Nevada soon? Like, hey, what about the Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest? Like, what the hell? Like, yeah. Anyway.
Pay to play with Keith, dude.
Yeah, but so, you never know. Like, how many you're blending with hops. And, you know, we even did this when we were brewing together, Brian. It was like, hey, let's do some of this and some of this Amarillo together and try to find something. You're like, let's not use that Amarillo at all.
All this Amarillo does not smell fresh at all to me, yeah.
But, no, I think I get a good nose of Amarillo on this. Like, a lot of orange on the bottled version. And I think more than actually the draft version, I get some orange notes.
Yeah,
orange pith
stuff. It feels more citrusy than piney, which, you know, normally I get a lot of pine off of it, a lot of pine and resin. This is citrus and tropical and a little stone fruit, maybe a little melon underneath it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't see how people can drink this fucking beer.
It's not super grassy. The hop, you know, the way they dry hopped it is you know, just to the point of being enough and high enough to say, whoa, here's some hops. Wah. But, it's not super light, like just a field of grass being rubbed in your face.
Yeah, for sure.
You got another bottle. All right. Is there going to be a bottle difference? Or these guys are just drinking too much?
They have the same dates. And I could have gotten today. I went to the store to buy some of these. There's like a block from where I live. They always have plenty there, and it's not. Yeah. You only buy it when someone's coming into town or I need to go somewhere and someone's going to be, you know, excited about that. I'll buy it. And I noticed they had different dates on them, and I bought both the same dates. It would probably have been more fun to buy a week difference because one was the 21st and one was the 14th. It would be kind of fun to have both, but I didn't do that.
Well, you're fun adverse. So
this is another 921.
I picked two of the freshest, which, you know, I normally do. I go into a store and I root around and pull bottles from the back.
You're that guy.
You got to. I do the same fucking thing, dude.
Yeah.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. So it's kind
of okay. So we've been through the aroma.
There's definitely a lot of fruity esters in here. Now this one doesn't have that kind of juicy fruit like impression to it. It's more of just kind of basic. Apple pear kind of light fruitiness to it, not super intense, just kind of medium low esters, kind of balancing underneath all the alcohol and the hops that are there. The hops definitely went out.
These beers are definitely both the draft and the bottle are brilliantly clear. Do they filter?
I'm not sure about that. Yeah,
it looks.
I would imagine.
This one's a little bit crazy. Yeah, okay.
What is the beer style? What is the number on this?
It's a 22A in the 2015 guidelines. Double IPA.
Strong American Ale. Oh, double IPA. There we go.
Yep.
Why wouldn't it be under IPA? Why is there no double
IPA
category?
Strong American. Yeah, yeah.
That's retarded.
That's just the way they classified it. They needed something else to put with the barley wines and stuff, I guess. So
from what I read online, Vinny said that anything he serves in the pub, brew house, whatever, is only fine with gelatin. And anything that's sold in the bottle that's shipped out to stores, is it goes through a centrifuge.
Oh, okay. Mm.
So I know a lot of vegetarians, I saw posts ask that. So.
Huh. Okay. All right.
That's good to know, yeah. So it's different in the pub versus what goes to the bottles.
So in the aroma, it's, you know, we went through the hops, but it's saying that some clean malty sweetness might be found in the background. Do we get any of that?
Just a light breadiness and a hint of tiny hint of caramel, but not richly sweet at all.
Okay. A little darker. Yeah, it's hard for me to get past all the hops.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the point of the style. That's kind of why this sort of defined the style, is that it was something new in that there it was just focused on the hops, and there wasn't like a lot of, you know, caramel or, you know, it wasn't a big malty backbone to it. It was really a showcase for hops. So you put a clean sort of sheet there with just, hey, I'm going to throw some, I mean, you know, just some pale malt, maybe a little bit of crystal, just a tiny bit for color, make it a little bit more appealing in terms of looking at it. It is a beautiful looking beer, but it's meant to be focused on the hops and not have that sort of balance like that the IPAs from the 90s probably had.
With a bunch of crystal underneath,
And you know, someone could say that, you know, one man's balance is another man. I don't know what that saying is going to be, but it's something along those lines where people hate like crystal malt in IPAs now.
I understand.
And it gets a lot closer to a barley when you start doing something like that, with having a lot of residual body and.
Yeah, you can. It also says that some alcohol can usually be noted in the aroma, which I get. I don't know if it's the glass.
And sometimes you can get a little sweetness terrible. From that, too. Like, the alcohol has a slightly sweet presentation. I'm getting a little maltiness in this, though, too. Because, I mean, if you just smelled a hop tea or something, you know, it would smell different than what you've got here, which has a little bit of an undertone of a malt to balance it, and a fair amount of alcohol on your face.
Okay, color. Let's go to appearance. Ranges from golden to light orange copper. What would you say this is? Straw?
This is pretty light gold. Yeah,
this is light gold.
Light gold, I think, is light to medium gold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Medium light gold.
Flavor. Hop flavor is strong and complex and can reflect characteristics of modern American or New World hop varieties. Well, obviously, it has a strong and complex hop flavor, and it really is kind of like a hop bell curve. It's just kind of just this arc.
So, they use a lot of Simcoe in the beer. There's a lot of CTZ in the beer. So you get kind of that piney, resiny thing up front. And sometimes if you dig a little bit, you can get a little bit of garlic dankness in there. It's not onion. Heavy in there.
Yeah,
but
I'm not getting that yet at all.
Yeah.
And that's, I think a lot of that.
I get a little bit of it. Actually,
from the CTZ.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I can't even say it. CTZ gives me kind of a diesel fuel sort of thing most times when I taste it, or, you know, especially when dry hopped. I don't think they dry hop with CTZ, do they?
Yeah. I feel like I got a little more of a fuel-y thing out of the bottle. The kegged version seems a little less.
Almost a keg version.
Oh, we don't know. Go ask the bar staff. it's probably keg, around the same time, though.
No, the keg was on at least last week.
It said just
Monday.
Tapped when we walked in.
Mm.
So I'm sure they went through that one from last Monday.
Yeah, but I don't think they got two deliveries.
They probably
one didn't. After the other.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
it's probably,
we could ask them. I don't really care. Yeah, so within the last.
But I really don't care.
Yeah, like, I don't really give a shit. Eric's in the other room, but
get
I don't
some
really
bar
care.
Staff in here. We want to interview the bar staff.
I don't want to do that. What's interesting is the keg flavor tastes very very. That's all relative. It tastes more subdued than the bottle.
How much
the
do
bottle
you
is
temperature. I mean.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know, because one uses
bile. On the mic, Jonathan.
I heard one uses bile and one doesn't use bile.
I heard that too.
Yeah.
So the bottle was a lot more fuller than the cake version, I've noticed.
Like full like full hop aroma, is that
full
you mean?
Hop.
Yeah.
The other one's a little bit more watery.
Yeah. It is. Like, the bitterness seems a little lower in the keg version.
A lot lower.
I could drink some of the keg version. I couldn't drink the bottled version. It's way too hop bitter, astringent to me. I can't. It's not enjoyable at honestly at all.
I actually like the bottle better.
Yeah, I like the keg better.
It's a little more oomph. Yeah. The keg seems a little smoother.
It is. Yeah, it's very
refined.
This is cool, man. How many times do you get to do this shit? That's pretty rad.
It's really good.
Actually, no juicy fruit.
A week older, that would have been more fun just to have one that was like, hey, what does
how
we,
many
what does
Pliny
wheat do?
Yeah. Right.
Pliny in the same exact environment.
Well, it's really interesting to taste aged double IPAs too. I mean, they're not always good, but it's just weird how different they get after a year. You know, if you're like, oh, I forgot I had this beer. Oh crap! And you drink it, and it's like, yeah, that's not at all the same beer.
Yeah, because, like, okay, you read the flavor, right? A long lingering bitterness is usually present in the aftertaste, but should not be harsh. I get that in the bottle, and actually, I would call that for me, for my palate, harsh as fuck.
Feels harsh to you.
Yeah, the keg, I wouldn't call harsh at all. I would call it very smooth.
I would call the keg more like a pale ale.
I really think they need to update the guidelines to say that it should not be harsh as fuck.
Just AF, because that's what all the kids say now.
But, you know, I think that it's something that's actually been turning, too. The guidelines, you know, they've been out for a couple of years now, and I think people are moving away from the big hop bitterness. It'd be kind of fun somehow to, like, get a bottle of Pliny from 5 years ago and see how bitter it is compared to now. Like, you know, has it changed? And are they now moving toward the more modern tastes of let's dial our IPAs back a little bit and not have them be so bitter?
I wonder.
I would think if anybody would be honest about answering that, it would be Vinny.
Yeah.
I think that's a question you could just throw right at him.
Call him up.
Okay, I'll get him right on the Vinny line. Okay.
That big red button over there, right?
Yeah. Have we tackled flavor, you think?
No.
Okay.
So the part of the flavor, well, they listed in flavor, but to me it's also kind of a mouthfeel thing.
Yeah.
And it's a key to the style, is the dryness of the beer. It needs to be dry as fuck.
Right. Okay.
As JP would say.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. And that's kind of why the 154 thing was kind of a weird, like, hey, let's try what they did, but, you know, what, maybe, I don't know, was it the brewing sheet or was it actually what they were trying to do? You know, is it the recipe or did somebody fuck up that day and they missed the mash temp somehow and they got to 154? Or maybe they add more sugar than most people do, or, you know, whatever. Like, there's a balance there. What Brian is saying is, like, yeah, mash temp is one thing, and then there's also sugar, and the goal is to keep it really dry. And how happy
your yeast is, everything, yeah.
And there's ways, you know, make more alcoholic, higher alcohol beers not taste like they're alcoholic beer sort of thing, you know.
That's yeast.
Fermentation, obviously, fermentation control. You know, there's a lot of, you know, things like that.
That's what this beer is. It's deceptive in that it's very smooth and easy to drink, and it just goes down, and you want another sip, and you can drink it, but you don't realize it's an 8% beer. If it finished a little higher, you know, like the other example we had, or other certain IPAs are a little sweeter, have a little more caramel in them, you have to drink them a little more slowly. But Pliny is just, the malt is super light. It's very dry. It finishes around 10-11 per some of the information out there, from 10.72 to 10.11, you know, get to that 8%, and it just dries out. You get some alcohol, but it's not hot. It's just smooth, and it goes down, and the hops are there to balance everything, and then it just dries out, and it's gone. You take another sip, and you can go through a pint of it, no problem. 2 pints of it, no problem.
No, three
pints of it, and then you're starting to slur your words, and then time to call Uber.
I'll tell you what. Let's take a break real fast, and we'll get into mouthfeel and then kind of the overall impressions, and kind of go from there.
Sounds good.
All right, hang on, everyone. We'll be right back.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa DryClean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the five-star treatment today.
Are you a member of the White Labs Customer Club? If not, you should be. It's the easiest way to earn free stuff for turning in your old homebrew labels from either Vials or Pure Pitch. All you have to do is save your labels and redeem them for things like free yeast, an exclusive White Labs t-shirt or sweatshirt, and even the opportunity to brew with the yeast man himself, Chris White. Signing up is easy. Just go to whitelabs.com/customer club, fill out the registration form, and then mail in your labels. They will return the favor by sending you awesome White Labs swag. Go sign up today at whitelabs.com/customer club. White Labs, pure yeast and fermentation since 1995.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but we're going to have to pour you out.
Back to Dr. Homebrew.
All right, we're still here, still talking about Pliny the Elder, which is not my favorite segment, but hey, you know what? Someone has to do the hard work around here, Brian.
Well, it is a classic commercial example of a beer style, a 22A, so here we go.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. All right, so mouthfeel is where we left off. Medium light to medium body with a smooth texture, medium to medium high carbonation. No harsh hop-derived astringency. Restrained, smooth, alcohol warming acceptable.
Yep, it does have all of that. It
ticks all the boxes, right?
So for the style, it is medium light bodied for an 8% beer. You know, you wouldn't expect that, but it is medium light bodied. It feels lighter than it should be.
They define that pretty much. I think that was one of the things that this beer really did was define the medium light body for a double IPA. I think they did a great job.
Oh,
on
for
that,
sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's, you know, that's what makes it fun, and it's like that's what makes it so drinkable, and that's what, you know, versus something like a barley wine. You're like, I used to love barley wines, and you're like, man, you know. Double IPA and sometimes scratches that same itch where, you know, it would have been like, hey, I want to have a Bigfoot, but a Bigfoot, you were like, oh, I want to have a 4 ounces or 5 ounces of it. Like Brian was saying, I want to have 2 pints of a double IPA, you know? So that's kind of the fun part about making this beer.
It's like the Michael Jackson quote, you know, barley wine is to be sipped in half pints by the fire or something in the middle of the winter. Wow, that's, I'm totally butchering the quote, but there's a really good Michael Jackson quote.
Yeah. Little children, what?
You know, Pliny the Elder is to be swilled in pints at your favorite tasting room. And
Eric came in and said that this keg was from September 8th.
September 8th. So it's a couple weeks older.
Yeah.
Okay. It seems like it's definitely, you know, it's either treated differently or it's smoothed out a little bit.
Do you think that explains? That's not very long. That's what,
I mean, you wouldn't expect the bitterness to drop back that much over that little time.
It's still
fresh Pliny.
So I think it's still safe to say the keg version is different than the bottle version. And I think you're going to find that no matter. I mean, this is pretty much as close to each other as you're going to get date-wise. Keg to bottle, right?
How 14, close are you going to get to each other on a date? I don't know. Yeah.
It depends on how much twins fucking playing.
And now to confuse things more, do you want to taste Keith's double IPA?
No, I don't.
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah,
actually,
but we're doing the double. We're doing Pliny, though, as our commercial calibration, so let's not cloud the issue here
okay.
right now.
So we just got through...
The mouthfeel. So here are the comments for this. It says, a showcase for hops, yet remaining quite drinkable. I don't know about that. The adjective double is arbitrary and simply implies a stronger version of an IPA. Imperial, extra, extreme, or any other variety of adjectives would be equally valid, although the modern American market seems to have now coalesced around the double term.
You think so, really? I think Imperial still seems to be more... I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I always thought Imperial was a little more common than double.
Yeah.
So a little more history on Pliny. The very first...
Brian.
Sorry. Your comments were boring me.
Yeah, go ahead. It's fine.
It was called Inaugural Ale. And the first time they brewed it, they released it. And they brewed at the Blind Pig Brewery in Temecula, California, June 23, 1994. And So it was just first, just a kind of a one-off beer. And no one else was doing this kind of thing back in 94. And
I think that's the history of Blind Pig. I don't think that's a history of Pliny.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, God, I'm fucking smart.
Wow. You're smart.
Yeah.
I so his first double IPA was called Inaugural Ale.
Yeah.
That wasn't the Pliny. Okay, got it.
It was Blind Pig.
And, yes, yada, yada. Okay, I'll shut up now.
I do remember a beer. It was kind of fun. There was and it's in the IPA book, but... It's a good read. It's not, you know, the best read ever, but it's definitely a good read. There's not a ton of, you know, it's more fun for the history, actually, the IPA book in the brewing series. There was one called right. VIP, and it was down in a place in Covington, Kentucky, right across the board, you know, right across the river from Cincinnati. And basically it was one of the first beers made, maybe the first beer made at that brewery, and the brewer totally overshot, you know, in the terms of efficiency, his IPA he was making, and it ended up being like a 1080 IPA in 1995 or 96 or whatever year that was. Maybe it was actually 97, now that I think about it. So he overcome, you know, he's like, okay, it's the gravity's way high, let me just add more hops to it, and then just, like, you know, bittered the hell out of it. And it was more focused on bittering than it was on flavor, but it still was a really fun beer in that it was like a 1080 beer that was pale, more of a modern IPA, but with a ton of hops. And he did use English hops, which is kind of fun as well. I'd revisit that at some point. But
yeah.
It was kind of neat. Yeah, and it was like, it was an accident, but it was like, yeah, this is cool. And then people loved it. The people were talking about it for like weeks, and he made another batch of it too, just because it was like, wow, that's, you know, what is this? There, you know, this is crazy. Hoppy, kind of barley wine sort of thing, but it's not, you know, it's drinkable, and it was a lot of fun. And I went down there a couple of times and tried it, and, you know, instead of people were just like, hey, you gotta get down there and get down to this place and try this beer. The guy, it was Tim Rastetter, was the guy. He was a big brewer, worked at Great Lakes and worked a lot of places like around the Midwestern area, but it was a really great brewer. He's still alive, he's not dead.
Cool. That was around 97, you said?
I think it was around 97.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so the first double IPA Vinny did, the inaugural thing in 94, and then they brewed, you know, they basically took the Blind Pig IPA, doubled the hops, literally, and raised the malt bill by 30% or so. So it's not like double everything, it's mostly just double the hops with, you know, a little more malt, a little more, you know, strength. And so then they, you know, some other breweries started making double IPAs like Rogue and Stone. And then the first Pliny was in 2001, and they started the IPA festival at the Bistro.
Okay, no
Hayward.
All right.
So the Bistro Double IPA Festival. Right. Only had 12 entries.
Okay.
Including
all
the
right,
first
Brian. Thank you, Brian.
Pliny the
Brian,
Elder.
Thank you very much. Wikipedia, Brian, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
Can you imagine if this would, instead of was a double IPA or Imperial, it was just extreme? Imagine if we had that fucking mid 90s marketing. That would be atrocious. Well, let's hear ingredients real fast. Clean two-row malt, of course. We all know that for sure. Sugar or other highly fermentable adjuncts are often used to increase attenuation, as are lower temperature mash rests, which, so that's interesting, Dan, that they're calling lower temperature, but you read the recipe as a higher mash. That's interesting. I don't know. The internet, man, it'll fuck you up.
Sometimes there's weird stuff out there on the internet.
Yeah, like this,
JP.
Like this show. Complex variety of hops, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, let's grade it, because that's what we do. Oh, other examples of the style. Avery Maharaja, Fatheads Hop Juju, Firestone Walker, Double Jack, Port Brewing's Hop 15, Stone Ruination, Three Floyds, Dreadnought.
Double Jack's already been retired. If I you know, it's now brewpub only. They stopped putting out in bottles, and I actually really enjoyed that. It was an old school one too, with like Centennial and other hops like that. I can't remember the other hops in it, but it was actually really enjoyable. But they did retire that too, because it was like, yeah, it's not itching the current market's needs anymore, and it was kind of unfortunate. What was your question?
We should give them a score. I think
we should give the bottle
a score, and I think we should give the keg version a score. What do you think? Because to me, they're different. If you put these both in front of me, I would think they're different beers.
I'm getting more of the diesel thing that you mentioned in the bottled version. It comes through a little more strongly. Definitely getting a little fuel-like thing in that isn't in the keg. It's just smoother
you know what fuel does?
Cleaner.
It moves you.
I like the
like the bottle, juicy fruit. The bottle version is super clear, though.
I don't get a diesel thing in anything, in either of them. And actually, it looks like the keg version is a little darker than the bottle version.
Oxidation, possibly? I don't know.
Maybe.
Well, my glass of the kegged version started out fuller, and now it's emptier. So I'm going to rate that higher.
Okay, good.
And I'm going to be in the opposite, because I like the actual fresher hop character in the bottle version. I thought I think a double IPA is meant to focus on the hops. And if I were judging in a competition, I would take the beer that they're equally well made. I would take the beer that had more focus on the hops.
Okay.
Jonathan
agrees.
And the bottle is more fuller, better beer.
Yeah.
It dropped slightly, but you know, in the keg version, but it's not stale. It's still prominent. It's still right there.
I think it's a little watery.
A little watery.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay, well, let's give it a score.
Lower in the keg version, and I don't know if that was just if it dropped back or if it was just a batch variation or something. But scores. They're both classic examples.
Yeah, I go 40-38, 40 for the bottle, 38 for the draft.
I'll go 41 bottle, 42 keg.
There we go. 38 draft.
On the mic. On the mic, Jonathan. Draft. God damn it. I'm not going to tell you again.
38 draft and on the bottle, 40. And I think Keith's beer is...
Okay, that's not part of the equation, John.
How about if you mix them together?
Dan, what do you think, man? Just jump in here.
Well, as a non-professional beer judge, I would say the keg is definitely better than the bottle.
Keg's better than the bottle, right?
But I've also tasted, my brother lives in L.A., so I've tasted versions that he got that were a lot fresher than I got down here.
Yeah.
And I think that the bottle, the fresher, the better.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. But I've also had a keg like I have tonight, and I think it's better than the bottle. So it's just fresher tasting to me. That's all.
I mixed them together, and it's 41 and a half. I just found that half point.
Yeah, I get that average. Yeah, I would go 41 bottle, 42 keg also. I think the keg is just, it's a little bit, I don't know, for me.
Less hoppy.
Yeah, for me, the bottle is harsh.
The bitterness is more prominent, for sure,
really
in the bottle
one. For me, it's too harsh. It's not enjoyable at all. It's not balanced at all. And I know to double IPA, it's not supposed to be balanced in the true sense of the word. But as far as balance to the style, it's not that at all. It's very rough.
Yeah, when it first comes out, it can be a little green. It can be, it's meant to be served fresh. But in the bottle, it's super fresh. It's just right out of the fermenter almost. And sometimes it can be a little biting, a little stronger.
I guess what I appreciate, though, is that JP actually just gave it, a really high score and still said he doesn't like to drink it, which is something that's really important to note. When judging beer...
I'm amazing.
You're representative of somebody who could be a good beer judge. I would leave it at that.
Okay.
That's a baby steps
like
to
being able to say, hey, I don't really necessarily like this beer, but it does a very good job of representing the style. I think that's important. I may not necessarily like International Amber Lager, but it's if it, and I do actually. I don't really dislike any styles. I do like a lot of style. There's almost nothing I don't like. But if there's something I don't like, I can still judge it and be like, that's pretty much spot on what it should taste like. I've tasted a Dos Equis or whatever the hell. Yeah. And that might not even be the good example of that. I think it is actually. I think Negra Modelo is not fitting that. But anyway. It's like something like that. You're like, yeah, that's cool. I know what it should taste like, and this tastes like that. And
yeah,
that's
man.
A good score, but I wouldn't want to drink it, maybe ever. I wouldn't have a sip of it and yeah, cool.
No, I'm good with it. I'm good with it. Yeah. And I learned early on doing the shows, man, I'm going to have to drink a lot of beer, and I'm going to have to give my opinion on it. And it needs to be accurate. It needs to come with some sort of scholastic weight, some sort of thing, so
yeah, if it came out tasting like a barley wine, you would score it poorly, right? It's not meant to be that sweet or that rich. If you have a complex grain bill, it's going to be wrong.
So
you want it to be simple, mostly base malt, dry enough alcohol that you can taste that, and again, dry, so you want another sip.
Yeah,
That's
the
style.
There's some double IPA right now.
Lots of hops.
For you that,
all the glasses are dirty, dude. Sorry.
We have the water glass over there.
Can't even deal
Bummer.
With it.
This one's actually kind of fun, though, because it's 50% Vienna malt as a base.
Oh, maybe I'll try a little bit of it. Then. Just a little bit.
Two rows.
Water glass.
All right. Thanks a lot, everybody, for tuning in here. I have three. I have four. Eric, I have four glasses of double IPA in front of me. I don't know what the fuck's going on. I have four glasses of double IPA. This is not fun for me.
It's so wrong.
I have four glasses of double IPA in front of me.
Okay.
Who am I? Besides a total asshole.
Yeah. Man. Like Aaron.
Knock him back. My favorite thing to do is comment. I'm, like, leaving shitty puns. So Aaron is off in Germany or whatever, and I'm leaving tons of terrible puns on his fucking Facebook page, and it makes me feel good with myself. All right, everybody, this has been Dr. Homer.
Oh, wait. Thanks.
Yes.
Doesn't Dan win something?
Yes, Dan wins the Grog Tag gift certificate. There you go, Dan. Congratulations. Okay, let me start over. Let me wind myself up again. All right, everybody, thanks a lot for tuning in. This has been Dr. Homebrew. Dan, thank you very much for coming in and providing your double IPA, your Pliny clone, again, for
and
sitting here in the chair.
Inspiring this mess.
It. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the cucumber pills are nuts, not for you.
Yeah, that's
last
true.
Episode, I remember it as ago. If it were yeah. no more than an hour ago.
It's coming back multiple weeks over and over again.
All right, everybody, we'll see you next time. Cheers.